Parshas Achrei.
I'll never be Michael him. Never, ever.
My, my, Yankala. What's this all about?
Tati, I was supposed to go away for Shabbos. My best friend Shloimi. To Baruch's house.
Nunu, what's the problem?
Then Avram from across the street. He made up with my best friend Shloimi to go to someone else's house. I'll never be Michaelim, I'll never be Michaelim.
My, my, my. I was taught never, ever to say never.
What?
What do you mean you'll never be Michaelim, Yankala? I mean, Yom Kippur is only 3 weeks away.
I won't be Michaelim even on Yom Kippur.
Even on Yom Kippur?
He spread bad rumors about me. Isn't it then that if someone is Motzi Shemra, if he spreads things that are not true about you, you don't have to be Michaelim, even on Yom Kippur?
Well, that's true. But it doesn't say that you can't be Michaelim. It says you don't have to.
Well, if I don't have to, so I won't.
Yankala, you know there are things that Hashem Yisbarach doesn't have to be Michael us for. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us Mida Keneged Mida. You want Hashem to be Michael you on things that he doesn't have to be Michael you for, don't you?
Well, I won't be Michael then.
In that case, I think you should take my advice.
What?
Go purchase some insurance.
But I'm only 9 years old.
So what's the problem?
I mean, the only thing I ever usually buy is like a Danish or packages of Kugelach or my Chumash at the beginning of this man. I don't even know what kind of a store you buy insurance. And I...
Yes?
I don't know how much it costs.
Any other problem?
I don't really know what insurance means.
Well, insurance is a policy.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, my Rebbe has a policy.
He does? What kind of policy?
He says his policy is that if someone comes more than 5 minutes late, he has to go to the principal.
Well, that's also a kind of policy. But I'm talking about a different kind of policy. Remember when Uncle Usher had a flood in his basement?
Yeah, pipe burst. Everything he had was useless afterwards.
Well, Baruch Hashem, his insurance policy paid for all the damage. So I would like you to have an insurance policy.
But can a boy buy insurance?
You, my son, can buy better insurance and protection than even Uncle Usher had.
How?
Listen to this story. When I was a young boy learning in yeshiva, Chanukah was my favorite Yom Tov.
Because you got Chanukah gelt?
Well, a little bit, yes. Also, it was the only Yom Tov we stayed in yeshiva. I mean, I enjoyed going home during the other Yom Tov, don't get me wrong. But Chanukah in yeshiva was very, very special.
Where did you light the Chanukah light?
Well, we lit it in our rooms. But what was really special was when the Rebbe would come in to light his Chanukah menorah in front of the whole yeshiva.
Oh, you explained to me, Tati, once, that your yeshiva had a Rosh Yeshiva and a Rebbe.
That's right. The Rebbe would light his menorah in front of the whole yeshiva and many other Hasidim and onlookers.
Was everyone able to see?
Well, they would set up perenches.
Per what?
You know, like bleachers, stands.
And then there was enough room?
Still, there really wasn't enough room. Everybody wanted to see the Rebbe light the menorah. We boys used to come early in order to get good places. Well, one night I came very early, and I got a place right in front of the menorah.
Wow, you're so lucky.
I thought so too. But then the crowd started coming behind me, around me, and on top of me. Being in the front of the crowd, everyone started pushing, and I was the one that was being pushed.
That happens sometimes in front of the candy machine. Everyone starts pushing, and everyone screams, "Stop pushing! Stop pushing!"
But no one knows who's really pushing and who's the one being pushed.
Right. And I'm always the one that's being pushed, and people think I'm pushing.
I kept being pushed closer and closer to the menorah. The Rebbe hadn't come in yet. But the Gabbai was there, and he was getting real upset with me.
But why you, Ta?
Because I was in front, it looked like I was the one who was pushing into him.
Maybe you stop pushing over there.
I'm not pushing. I'm being pushed.
Hey, stop pushing. No, stop pushing. Forget it. Forget it.
This kept happening again and again. And every once in a while, somebody would say, shh, shh, the Rebbe's coming. The Rebbe's coming. The Rebbe's coming. And it would get quiet. And everybody would wait. But the Rebbe didn't come in yet. So everyone started talking and pushing again. And I kept being pushed into the gabbai.
Again you? Again you? I said stop pushing.
I said I'm not pushing.
Shh, the Rebbe's coming. This time for real. You said it last time. This time for real, for real. Well, finally, everyone became quiet and the Rebbe came in. From the corner of my eye, I noticed, Gimple was coming in.
Gimple? Who was Gimple, Ta?
Gimple was our dorm mashgiach. Ta, you're a person, a heart of gold. Gimple was 6'3", and he liked to be in front, too.
But he didn't come on time.
Gimple, I realized, was going to make his way to the front anyway. Well, mathematically speaking, I knew I was in trouble.
You were doing math then?
I mean, I realized that there's only a certain amount of space for a certain amount of people. And with Gimple pushing himself in, somebody was going to be pushed out. I went flying right into the gabbai, and his hat spiraled up into the air. Unfortunately, as the gabbai turned around to see what happened, the hat landed on me.
You again? Again? Did I hear? Give me back my hat! I said stop pushing! What should we do? Did I hear? Did I ever do?
But I didn't!
But you didn't! I'll tell you what I will do! Asach, Chizpah, you deserve this!
What was the this?
You can come out from under the chair and I'll tell you. The this was a smack.
He smacked you?
Uh-huh. And then my hat went flying off. I was so hurt and angry. I said to my friend standing next to me,
never be Mechelem. Never be Mechelem.
Well, by then, the Rebbe was just about to start lighting. And suddenly, people are calling me.
Herschel, come. Herschel, come. Brief dich.
Oh, no. Why are they calling me? I hope it's not the gabbai to give me another snack. I hope so, too.
Well, it wasn't. The Rebbe was calling me. I walked up with my legs trembling in front of the Rebbe. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Did the Rebbe scream at you?
No. He asked me to bring him a sefer that was on the shelf. It was a sefer hazoyer. And he pointed to a certain story. My precious child, listen to this story. Rabbi Abba was once approaching the gateways of the city of Lud, and there was a man walking in front of him.
Oh, am I tired? Oh, Baruch Hashem, we're coming near the city of Lud. Oh, let me rest up a little bit before. Oh, what a big, beautiful rock. I'll climb up on top of this rock and get a little schluffy-woofy over here.
Rebbe Abba looked from the distance and he was very worried. The big rock was right near a cliff, and it seemed very unstable. Then, to Rebbe Abba's horror, he noticed something else. Without being close enough to warn the person, he noticed a big, huge, venomous, poisonous snake inching its way toward the sleeping person.
Oh, Nota! And what happened?
Just as the snake opened its mouth and its tongue protruded and it was about to inject its poisonous venom into the man, a twig cracked off from a tree above and came crashing down on the snake.
What happened to the snake, Ta?
What happened to the snake? It was the snake's yahrzeit. That's what happened to the snake.
Baruch Hashem.
Then as Reb Abba was about to run over to the man, he noticed the man was now in another danger. The rack began to shift and loosen. If it would fall, the man would be crushed. Right before the rack fell...
Ooh, that was a geschmacker, Schluffy. Okay, let me just walk away from here.
Reb Abba couldn't believe it. The man didn't even realize that as soon as he got off the rack, the huge rock nestled into that mountain, detached itself, and came crashing down the hill into thousands of pieces.
Very noisy over here.
Reb Abba came running after the man. Reb Yid, Reb Yid, stop, stop.
Oh, hello, how are you?
Do you realize what just happened?
Oh, yeah, I got a real good sluff, a real good rest.
I mean, do you realize what could have happened?
Yeah, I could have not gotten such a good schluff.
Tell me, my friend, there is no question that your schusim are great to be saved like this twice in a row.
I was saved twice in a row?
A snake almost bit you.
Hoi vey!
But a twig came down and crushed the snake at the last moment.
Oh, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
As you got off the rock, the huge boulder came crashing and tumbling down.
Is that what it was? Whoa. I thought it was just an earthquake or a mudslide. That's why I didn't turn around.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved you twice. Tell me, are you a great tzaddik?
Not that I know of.
What is your schos?
My schos. My schos? I don't know, I'm just a regular person. I don't know.
Tell me, what is your schos?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I do. Every single night, after I shtel negelwasser, and I get ready to say Kriya Shema Lamita, I make up that I don't go to sleep until I go through all the events of the day, and I am Michael, I forgive anyone who did anything to me not so nice, or who took something from me, or who said something about me. I don't go to sleep until I feel in my heart that I am completely Michaelim. And if not, I keep working on it until I'm completely Michaelim. If not, I don't go to sleep. That's all. That's just how I live my life.
That is the reason that you have a life now.
So you see, Ankala, after the Rebbe told me this story, I began to shiver, and I said,
Oh, Rebbe, I didn't mean to say it loud before, that I'm not Michaelim. No, of course, I said that, but I didn't mean it. Of course I'm Michael the Gabbai. Of course I'm Michaelim. I'm Michael anyone that ever smacked me. I'm Michael anyone that ever threw my hat.
And I'm Michael you also. Just next time, please don't push so much, okay?
Wow, Tati. That must have been some evening for you.
Yankala, the evening was far from over.
What else happened?
After the Rebbe lit the Chanukah and he sang the Zmirois, the minig was the Rebbe would give out pieces of cake and people would come over and say L'chaim. Once again, the Rebbe called me.
Again? For another story?
No.
Yes, Rebbe?
Please, come here and sit down. Where is Reb Shmuel? Come here also.
Call the Gabbai. Call the Gabbai. The Rebbe's calling the Gabbai.
Why did he call you?
I want you both to sit down over here, and I want to drink a L'chaim together with you.
A L'chaim together with me, Rebbe? But the Rebbe usually does that only when other Rebbes come to visit.
Two Yidden that were angry at each other and decided to be Meichel each other with a full heart. To me, you are the greatest tzaddikim in the world. I want the schus of drinking a l'chaim with you.
Wow. Now I see what you mean, that the night wasn't over.
Yankala, the night wasn't over yet.
Something else happened?
That's right.
Another hat went flying?
Worse. By the time we got back to the dormitory room, everyone was all excited about what happened. And we were learning and schmoozing. No one really wanted to go to sleep on time. Gimple came into the room, and under no uncertain terms, he said,
Lights out in 5 minutes.
Come on, Gimple. Give us another couple of minutes. Yeah, it's Hanukkah. We're learning. We want to have a little party.
4 minutes left.
Dimple, it's Hanukkah. Come on. Oh, yeah, we go to sleep on time.
3 minutes left.
Dimple, can we talk to you, please? You know what? Join us. Look, we have some latkes that someone's Bobby sent.
2 minutes left.
Dimple, just let us tonight, Hanukkah. We still have to chazer the Gemara.
1 minute left.
Dimple, can we talk to you? Is there anything else you can say besides 1 minute left?
Yes. No minutes left. I'm closing the lights.
Well, Gimple was right. We had to go to sleep, and it was time for us to go to sleep. But you know, when you're young, it's hard to admit that somebody else is right. And worse than that, Yankala, when you're young, you do foolish and dangerous things, and I did a very dangerous thing.
What did you do, Dad?
I'm almost embarrassed to tell you. I got under the cover and I wanted to learn. You know, I was going to be real Ehrlich now and learn now. Under the blankets, I couldn't see. So I took the shamus of the menorah with me into bed.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is right. A foolish and dangerous thing. Chas v'shalom that you ever even think of doing such a thing. Well, slowly I began to doze off, thinking any minute I'm going to put the candle back into the menorah. But I dozed off a second before doing that, instead of a second after doing that. And I was awakened to the shouts of...
Your bed is on fire! Fire! Fire!
Commotion, pandemonium. I woke up. Everyone was screaming and my bed was on fire. I just panicked. I just threw myself off. Everyone was running in all different directions. No one knew what to do. Gimple came charging into the room. Well, another friend of mine, Yankel, had a big bucket of water. He threw it at the bed.
Did he put out the fire?
No. But he sure soaked Gimple from head to toe. Well, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, there were fire extinguishers in the room, and we had nisei. The fire department came and they took me to the hospital. And after getting a good scolding by the doctor about what a foolish and dangerous thing I did, chas v'shalom, that a child should ever play with fire or matches, after that I was told,
"And you are a very lucky young boy. A boy as naughty as you are doing such a dangerous thing, and you should walk out without a scratch. After a fire like that, I can't even imagine how you survived. And not even a hair is burnt. There was another boy that was playing with matches in his bed, and he's been in this hospital now for 6 months in terrible, terrible pain. You are one lucky boy. You must have a special merit."
I tried to explain to the doctor that I knew what that merit was. So, Yankala, what were you saying about not being Michael your friend?
Not being Michael my friend? Ta, would I say something like that? Why, I was Michael him already, as soon as the story started.
You know, my son, Yom Kippur is mechaper an averis shebein adam l'makayim, an averis between man and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Averis that are ben adam l'chaveri, between one friend and the other, only one friend can be Michael the other friend. But if we want Hashem to be Michael us...
And we have to be really good about being Michael our friends?
Now do you understand why...
Why this is the best insurance policy possible? Yes, Tati, I sure do.